bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen, listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black Jeans, holler.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Worms cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. I'm all by myself tonight, except for the fact that I do believe I have my special guest on hold at this time. I'd like to welcome to the show the King of Diamonds, Eddie Kingston. You. What's going on, man?
Not too much, man. It's another day above ground. You know how it is.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a long time we've been wanting you on the show. And, you know, we had you on under a few terrible circumstances.
Yeah, depressing times,
But, yeah, it'd be good to get you on and actually talk about some positive shit. So, yeah, I figure we'll start out early with the training and stuff. From what I had heard, you had trained with Kevin Knight. And
yeah. You said you wanted to start off positive. We're starting off with that. No, I'm joking.
well, got to start.
Yeah, that's where I started at. Yeah, that's where I started at. I got, you know what, man? It's been over 10 years. I got nothing bad to say, man. I ain't trying to hold no grudges. Just we didn't get along at the end. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, after leaving there, you ended up with Chikara and training with them with, you know, Hero and Quack. And how did that all come about?
Well, like I said, with Kevin Knight, you know, just things didn't really, you know, get together well. You know what I mean? He had different opinions on things, and I couldn't really respect it. And me, Blackjack, and Jigsaw, and Jolly Roger actually all went, we're all there together and all got kicked out at the same time together, and because we all just disagreed with him. And then we were just like, you know, we're always big fans of Mike Quackenbush and Reckless Youth. At the time, Hero wasn't there, so, you know what I mean, we're always big fans, and we looked up to school, and we were like, you know what, 20-year-old kids, we're like, it don't matter how far away it is, do it, and we did it.
Now, Quack, I mean, he's a hugely technical guy and all of that stuff, and, I mean, he's definitely got a certain way of, you know, doing his thing and stuff like that. What was it like training under Quack?
To be honest with you, it was a lot of cardio, and also, you know, I just remember I learned so much, like, my first day there that I learned, and I think I was at Kevin Knight School for 8 months. I learned more in 1 day at Quackenbush School than I did in 8 months at Kevin Knight School. It was like pulling teeth to learn from Kevin Knight. Again, I'm not trying to knock him, but, you know, he taught us the basics. But, you know, for us to even learn a simple move, we would have to ask him over and over again. You know, and we were young, and even to this day, still, I'm thirsty to learn and thirsty for knowledge of wrestling, you know, because you never stop learning.
Right.
In this great sport. So, but we didn't have to ask Quack, hey, how about this? Hey, how about that? He was showing us stuff, you know, right off the bat.
How'd you come up with your name, Eddie Kingston? Obviously, I know where you got the Eddie, but.
No, the Eddie Kingston name came actually from Quack. I don't know how Quack came up with it. You know, King of Diamonds, Eddie Kingston, and my tag partner would be Black Jack Marciano. You know what I mean? He just saw us as two cocky individuals. They thought, you know, those were cocky names and funny stuff like that. Like, you know how Chikara is. It's a very gimmicky thing with masks and stuff, and he wasn't going to put us in a mask, but he wanted us to be like street hustling card players. And, you know, that didn't work out too well. We just became us. You know what I mean? And that's how it happened.
Yeah. Now, you and Blackjack were, you know, real-life friends and all that stuff, and, you know, so it was probably pretty easy to team up and everything like that. Over time, I mean, you guys did a lot of different things. I'm going to jump around a lot because I'm just not that good.
It's all good, bro.
But, I mean, you guys won tag titles and all that stuff, and, you know, eventually Blackjack retired. I mean, a lot of people listed it was due to injury and stuff like that. You know, I'd heard your previous interview saying that, you know, it was politics and stuff like that. What was the real deal on that?
Well, it had to do with both. You know what I mean? Had to do with stuff with Chris Hero and with his knee injury. And, you know what I mean? I'll never forget the day he went to the doctor. He called me up. He said, look, the doctor said I don't have to have surgery, but if I want to wrestle, I'm going to need surgery. I'm going to be in constant pain. And, you know, whatever happened with him and Hero, he was just kind of like, I don't think it's worth it. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to hate on you. You know what I mean? You're still going to be my friend, but yeah. I'm going to keep going on it. And if you don't want to, I understand, you know? And that's what happened, you know? And Blackjack was definitely the better than I was, really, to be honest with you. But he didn't get to really show off those skills too much.
Are you still in contact with him and everything?
Yeah. It just, you know, it's far between now. You know, instead of every day, then it became instead of us hanging out every day, then it became like once a week. Now it's like once a month. But we still, you know, stay in contact. You know, he's busy with a girlfriend and with his job and everything like that. And I'm busy with wrestling and training. But right. We definitely do. We still get up with each other. We still talk to each other just to see how everything's going, you know?
Yeah, now over all the time, I mean, has he ever considered coming back or, you know, giving another go?
You know, there's always hints of it, but then, you know, it's never fully out of you, the wrestling. Like, he always thinks about it, but, you know, it's just, he has a different life now, you know what I mean? And being a pro wrestler is not the number one priority for him right now. But and I respect that, you know what I mean? Sometimes when I'm in pain and my own knee is killing me or I remember when I broke my ankle, I was kind of like, man, Blackjack was smart. He got out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Now, with the whole Chikara thing, I mean, I know that's more or less your home base and everything like that, and you said, you know, with the mm-hmm. gimmicks and all that. I mean, you're the type of cat that's not real well filtered, you know?
Yeah.
They run a real PG product and stuff. How are you able to maintain for all these years over there at Chikara?
Well, at first, you know, before the shows were taped by Smart Mark Video, there were many a nights where I got in trouble for not being PG when I was there. But I know you kind of learn, and I also think it's also better for the performer to be PG or whatever you want to call it. It makes you more creative on certain levels, you know what I mean,
right.
Interacting with the crowd and everything, because it's easy to curse and say, hey, fuck you, boo, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. So it makes you more creative in getting things, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And at some point in there, you ended up with CZW doing the,
yep.
Coming in with the blackout, I think that was more or less the time Joker was going away. So, you know, you were brought in somewhere along those lines. How'd that whole thing go down for you?
Well, the thing was Joker was going to Iraq, and me, Joker, and Sabian became very close because they started using them at Chikara. And me, Joker, and Sabian just, you know, clicked and hit it off real well. And, you know, I owe Joker a lot because Joker told John Zander, he said, you know, I got two things I want to do before I go to Iraq. And he was like, I want to have a match with John Zander, you know, that match. And I want Eddie to take my place in Blackout. And to me, that was just, that was amazing and awesome. So because of him, I was able to get a run, my first run at CCW.
What was your initial feeling of John Zander going in there?
He was intimidating, you know what I mean? You, before you know the man, you see all the videos of him in the death matches and the stuff in Japan when he was with Big Japan Pro Wrestling, you know what I mean? He's a very intimidating figure, you know what I mean? But then, you know, you get to know him and you understand he's a businessman, you know. You get to know him on a personal level. He's very loyal, very nice, you know what I mean? But you still want to cross him, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Now, I mean, you went on a whole bunch of different things in CZW. I mean, you ended up in all sorts of places. I never expected to see you, you know, Tournament of Death and all that stuff. But, I mean, I think Tournament of Death came before the world title stuff, right?
Yes, it did, yeah. Tournament of Death 4, I think it was.
I think so. You did the, you know, you went in there with the Blackout, and it was against, you know, John Zandig, and ended up being Joker coming in. How did you feel about the whole deathmatch scene?
Well, I always respected the guys who did it because, you know what I mean, the guys who do that every month are some of the, you know, best performers and warriors I know in the sport, you know what I mean, to put their bodies through what they put themselves through to entertain the people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I got the phone call to be asked to do it, and they said they needed somebody to wrestle John. And I just said, you know what, why not? Let's do it. You know what I mean? If it's going to make sense, then let's do it. And it was just real nerve-wracking before you went in there. When the match was going, it wasn't really nerve-wracking because you're going and adrenaline's pumping, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you just want to have a good match. And, you know, the little bit of an ego that I have was like, I want to put on the best match on the show, you know what I mean? So there was nothing but that going through my head and adrenaline going through my body. But then afterwards, when the adrenaline wears off and you see yourself with all the cuts and stuff, you're kind of like, someone help me out, please. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but now CZW had a doctor back there and everything, so that was good and whatnot. So it was a surreal moment. And, you know, it was a great honor to be in there with John Zandig, so I had a lot of fun.
The other match I always liked a lot, and when I had Joker on, I brought it up too, and he actually wasn't as thrilled with the match. You know, he said something about he kind of wished it could have happened again or something like that, but when you and Joker went up against Super Dragon and Necro.
Yeah, we were both not happy with that match. We both wanted to tell a different story. I thought the story was okay, what we did, but, you know, we wanted to tell more of a story. I had fun. I always had fun with Super Dragon in the ring, and everybody knows my feelings on Necro, how much I respect that guy, and on a personal level, actually, you know, consider that guy a very close friend, and I hope he's doing okay. You know, I haven't talked to him in a very long time, but hopefully I get to see him soon. And, you know, I mean, it was a lot of fun to be in there with them and stuff like that. Of course, you know, you're never satisfied with any of your matches because you always want to do better. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was just a dream match scheduling, you know, with, you know, four hard-hitting guys like that. I just thought it was a real good booking.
Oh, thank you. It was fun. It was fun. It was still fun. But again, like I said, you're never satisfied.
Wow. Speaking of Necro, the match you had with Necro, you hit the backdrop driver on them wooden steps.
Yeah.
Who the fuck
I was on Necro, man. You know? Necro was Nickel just wanted to make me look good. He knew that it was my first title defense, and he just wanted to make me look good, and I wanted to make him look good, and we just both went out there, and we tried to put on the best we could, you know what I mean? And it's a great feeling when you have somebody out there that knows what they're doing with you. And you can, you know, I learned a lot from Nickel. A lot of people don't give him enough credit.
Yeah. He's definitely very, very good, you know, outside of even, you know, death matches. He definitely knows what he's doing.
Yep.
You know, and to your credit, in that match, you could see towards the end of the stair thing, before you hit the move or anything, there was a nail sticking up. You had to hammer down with your shoe.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me with this. I remember just getting so mad about it.
Yeah, that shit could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Hero feud, I mean, it spanned so many different companies and all that stuff. And for the people who don't know and stuff, how did everything start off with you and Hero?
Well, me and Hero started off as really close friends. First, we started off as he became the trainer at Chikara and helped me and Blackjack get to IWA Mid-South. And then it slowly developed to a friendship. And then, you know, I'm trying not to hold any grudges nowadays ever since the passing of Larry Sweeney. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, not have that on me, but it's very hard to break the grudge I have with Hero. The whole thing with him was, he, you know, the original plan for me and Blackout was that me and Blackout were going to split up from each other, and then I was going to do the wild card thing with Blackjack and CZW and feud with Blackout. But at the time, Blackjack was part of Hero's group, and Hero didn't want that, and then Hero went to the promoter and the booker, tell him no, and then his bitching and moaning that he does so well. And then they didn't do it, and this Blackjack didn't want to be with Hero, and just, you know, conflict of interest. And then, I don't know, I took it personally. Maybe I shouldn't have, you know what I mean? I thought I had a better, you know, I put my friendship first before my business hat, I guess you could say, when it came to Hero.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had it out in the locker room a couple times, and, you know, Ian Rotten was the first guy to be, well, actually, Mike Quackenbush was the first guy to see us, you know, not really like each other, but he was like, you know what, I bet they'll mesh with each other in the ring, and he was right, you know what I mean, and those matches were probably the hardest hitting matches I've ever had in my life, you know what I mean, we didn't like each other, we didn't, you know, I think we respected each other, I don't know, you know, for what we could do in the ring, but we just didn't like each other at all, and it just showed, and it happened in the matches.
Yeah. Now, I mean, in CZW, it came down to that Loser Leaves Town match and all that, mm-hmm. and, you know, the whole thing that went down with that, I mean, it was honestly one of the best matches in CZW history. I mean, it was unbelievable.
You.
I mean, it was so hard-hitting that, I mean, there's no denying what the shit that went down in that match. I mean, it... forearm strikes and chops and everything else were just ringing through that building. Like, it was crazy. And, after that match, you know, they had the whole thing with Zandig happen, which pretty much turned into a shoot, which I guess was originally supposed to be storyline or whatever the case is, but, you know, how did that whole thing, you know, go on your side?
Man, I gotta try to remember, because I try to forget things.
Yeah.
And also, I get hit in the head a lot, so sometimes I forget things. You know, at the time, CZW was kind of struggling, I guess you could say, with booking ideas and stuff like that. And there was a lot of bitching and moaning in the back from a lot of people, including myself, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
when you love something, when you love the product, like I, at the time I loved CZW, you just wanted to see it do well, you know? And when you see things not going right, or when you see things that you don't agree with going on, you know, I'm a very passionate person, so... you know, I let it be known that I'm not happy about it.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people were leaving to go to PWU at the time, and I guess John heard that I was going to go to PWU, and at the time I wasn't talking with anybody at PWU. He just heard that I was. You know, he didn't come to me and ask me, but, you know, he wanted to get involved in the match with Hero. I thought it wouldn't make sense. You know, because he didn't, for 2.5 years, me and Hero feuded, and he wasn't involved. Why is it all of a sudden, he getting involved. So, you know, just a lot of things just happened that day. We didn't agree with it. Me and Hero went out there and we put on a match, you know, and we really beat the shit out of each other. And, you know, I remember my right arm went numb a little bit. And I just remember seeing John coming out and I said, I'm not doing this shit. Like, this doesn't make any sense. And I just walked out. And it was unprofessional by me. I shouldn't have done it. But, excuse me, things happen. That's the next day was the first time I talked to PWU, even though all everyone thought I was talking to them for, like, months when I wasn't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had heard, like, the plan was supposedly for them to more or less pop shot, you know, you versus Zandig on, like, a soon event after that. But I also would say, yeah, it you know, was going to take away from the match to have something immediately after where, you know, you get taken down a notch or something else gets set up when that was, you know, main event caliber shit that just went on and they're trying to lead to something else. So I could definitely understand that.
Yeah, but, you know, I should have done it anyway. You know what I mean? At the time, John Zandig was my boss. Now, this is me 30 years old saying this, but at the time I think I was 25, 26.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you know, this is 30-year-old Eddie Kingston saying I should have went with it and, you know, I should have been more professional. But there was just a lot of build-up. There was a lot of frustration in the back. And just, you know, I was just coming back from my ankle surgery. And I remember I rushed back from it. I was supposed to be out 6 months. And I came back in three, you know what I mean? So it was just a whole load of frustration.
Yeah. The ankle injury, that was the three-way at Cage of Death.
Yeah.
And it was Justice Payne and Chris Hero on the three-way. I mean, what was your memories of that match? Probably not too good, but, you know.
I just remember going into it all amped up, you know, and hyped up, you know, being champ on a Cage of Death show. I was like, this is cool. You know what I mean? It's a nice feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just over-rotated on a back body drop, and my ankle was behind my ass. I landed on it. I guess because of adrenaline, it didn't feel like it was broken. It just felt like I tore ligaments in it because I had done that before with my ankles.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll be fine. And I remember trying to go back in the ring, broke it again. I said, oh, it's just a torn ligament. Give me a minute. And then I remember trying to punch Justice Payne, and I put weight on it, and I broke it for the third time, and I was like, yeah, something's wrong. So.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this is a different feeling now. This is weird, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I had a match coming up. What was that? That was December. And I had a match in March, early March, against Samoa Joe coming up. And, you know, Samoa Joe's one of the guys, you know, I guess you could say an influence. And I was like, there's no way I'm missing that match. So I just remember hurrying up from the injury and not even doing physical therapy. Just started walking around on it on my own, like 2 months in. You know what I mean? Like, after they took the cast off, like, 2 months in, I started walking around without him, you know. Except that was a dumb move, because now to this day, sometimes, you know, when it gets cold or if it's going to rain or something, the ankle kind of throbs a little bit.
Yeah. What was your thoughts on working Justice Payne? I've heard mixed reviews.
He was never a problem. You know what I mean? I heard mixed reviews as well. He was never a problem with me. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's because he respected my work or just because he didn't care, but I never had a problem with him. I've seen other guys have a problem with him. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I don't know why that happens in wrestling, because that happens in wrestling a lot. You know what I mean? Like, some guys would be problems with other guys, you know, but with me, it was never a problem, you know?
Cool.
And
that's cool.
Yeah, that's really it, you know?
Yeah. Later on in CZW, I'm probably skipping over tons of shit I'll come back to, but you did the No Rope Barbed Wire with you and Drake.
Yep.
And that was, you know, a minute for you being away, and you came back to work Drake and that. I mean, but you know, what made you decide to come back and do the No Rope Barbed Wire, like, right out of the gate?
Well, I don't know, like, I always kept my eye on what CZW was doing at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I saw they put the belt on Drake, and Drake, man, I, like, legit love that kid. Like, Drake Younger, like, legit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, love that kid. I think he's one of the best wrestlers out there, and I'm very proud of him and all his success with wrestling and also in his personal life. I think it's amazing what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he's a just a down-to-earth great man. Not a, you know, not kid, nothing like that, a man. You know, and I saw what they were doing with him, and, you know, I was like, you know what, maybe I can do something with him. And me and him got on the horn and we're talking, you know what I mean? And I was like, you know what, I never did a no-rope barbed wire, you know what I mean? And I remember Sabu and Funk, you know what I mean, doing theirs, and I remember a couple other ones, you know. And I was like, you know what, that was one of the things I always wanted to do was a no-rope barbed wire, just to say I did it. And there's not a lot of people who I trust that I would do it with. And, you know, me and Drake just came together. Drake went to John Zandig with it. Zandig called me up, and that's how it happened. You know, we hammered out the details, and then it happened.
You went from that to, I mean, later down the line, tagging up with Drake, and they did the Suicide Kings thing.
Yeah.
You guys won the tag titles and all that stuff. Came down to a match, you know, with you guys against Cult Fiction and Damage and Masada in June 2010. And that was your next exit from the company. What happened there?
Just, again, a lot of backstage stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
Zandig wasn't there anymore, you know what I mean? And, you know, DJ Hyde was in charge, and there was just a lot of backstage bickering, a lot of, you know what I mean, a lot of arguments between me, DJ, and me and some of the other talent back there, you know what I mean? And
right.
My boys who had my back, you know what I mean? They knew I wasn't just doing it to be a dick, or I was doing it because I was wrong. Because if I was wrong, then I would say I was wrong, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, and then just the match happened. I enjoyed the match. The after part of the match really annoyed me. You know what I mean?
With the security and all that stuff.
With the security and everything. And then I remember going to the back, you know, and I was angry. I went to the back screaming and yelling, like, trying to find everybody to see what happened, what went wrong. You know, and I get yelled at and by DJ. And I was like, you know what, fuck this. You know what I mean? I don't need this bullshit. And, then some other stuff happened that I don't want to bring up, you know what I mean? That hopefully they don't bring up, you know. I was very close to bringing it up, and they keep saying that I screwed the company and left. But anyway, you know, I'm going to try to be the bigger person right now. But I think I probably told you on a personal level what it was anyway. But
it's up to you what you put on the air, dude.
Yeah, no. And so I left again, and, you know, and that was it. Like, I don't know. It was just a fucked up situation, and I don't know.
It's cool. They got you back in there recently.
Yeah, that was because
Homicide.
That was because of Homicide, so I blame him every time I'm there. Every time I tell him that. You know, Homicide's one of my mentors, you know, coming from New York, seeing what he did in this business, you know what I mean? Was in TNA, was the foundation for Ring of Honor, was in, wrestled in Japan. He's done a lot, you know what I mean? And to me, he's done a lot for guys like me, you know what I mean? Coming from New York and not being, you know, your prototypical pro wrestler, I guess you could say, you know?
Right.
So, and
yeah,
I find
the best
it to
on
be,
Indies.
Yeah, and I find it to be an honor to team up with him and to learn from him, so.
But then you blame him for the bullshit that's going to come with it, right?
Yeah. Cool, I got to do that.
Yeah.
I got to bust his balls.
Now, I mean, you're one of those guys that have actually, you know, gone through the mill with both and actually had problems with both guys. And, you know, you could bury all the hatchets, and that's perfectly fine. But how would you compare working for Zandig and working for DJ?
Zandig, there's a different level of respect between like, there's a different level of respect I have for Xander than I have for DJ. It's still respect, but, you know, there was a different level of it when it came with Xander. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, I don't know, to be honest, you know, and it's just, you know, DJ's the boss right now, and, you know, I know for a lot of guys it's a hard pill to swallow because we all seen this guy grow up in the business, you know what I mean? A lot of us started before DJ did, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And, you know, it's just, I don't know, maybe I'm just being a retard. Most likely I am. It's just a hard pill to swallow sometimes.
I mean, it's a pretty big jump. You know, it wasn't exactly engaged buying the company. It was, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but like when I went to CZW, Zambik was very well established. CZW was very well established. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was just a different level of respect, you know. But I got to give DJ credit. You know what I mean? DJ has, you know, a different level of respect that I have for him. But I got to give him credit because he is trying very hard with the company. You know what I mean? He's trying to,
doing a lot of things.
Yeah, he's trying to open doors for the company. You know what I mean? He helped out a lot of guys. You know, and after he'll take credit for that. Trust me. Don't worry about it. But you know, I'll give him credit where credit is due. You know what I mean? He's definitely trying his best to help CZW out. You know, he's also trying to put money in his pocket as well. Let's be honest.
Of course. Some stuff about IWA.
IWA Mid-South, yeah.
Yeah, IWA Mid-South. Well, you know, we mentioned before your tag titles with Blackjack, did the wild card thing and all that. You know, came off of that, and you just started doing a lot of singles, you know, when everything went that way. What was your feud with Ian like?
It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, you know what I mean, from Ian. A lot of people bash Ian Rotten for things that he does personally. And, you know, I mean, I can understand that. You know what I mean? Like, he never did nothing. He never really did anything wrong to me. You know what I mean? He gave me and Blaine, you know, first, it was a hero at the time, gave us an opportunity to go to any, but he was the one who said, all right, I want to keep these kids here. You know what I mean? And I like what these kids are doing. And I remember when Blackjack quit, I was worried, like, I never done singles. I was always a tag wrestler, and I still love tag team wrestling. I wish that's why I love teaming up with guys like Homicide, you know? I think tag team wrestling is amazing. And, but, you know, he took a chance. I remember he called me up the day he found out Blackjack retired. You know, Blackjack had to call him and tell him everything. And then he called me up and he said, don't worry about nothing. We're going to still use you. He goes, I have faith that you're going to be a good singles wrestler, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, okay, well, cool, you know. So he took a chance on me and showed everyone that I can, you know, I can go singles. And I learned a lot from him with my feuds with him, and I learned a lot with the people that he put me in the ring with. You know, because of him, I was able to step in the ring with guys like Too Cold Scorpio, you know.
Yeah.
And that was one of my favorite matches because, you know, it wasn't the best match. I know I could have done better, but I learned a lot in that match.
Did it go directly off the guy?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did it go directly off of the tag thing to feuding with Ian, more or less?
I kind of bounced around a little bit. You know, just doing regular single matches, you know, opening the show and, you know, maybe second or third match, you know. And then and then it went to feuding with Ian at our IWA Mid-South. You know, I guess Ian wanted to give me a rub or something, so... You know, he had faith in me, so we went at it. And those were some hard-hitting matches as well. I just remember taking that long drive home with bumps and bruises all over me, black eyes all over me.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an easy time, but it was definitely a learning experience and fun. You try to learn from everybody you step in the ring with, whether, you know, you have more experience than the other person or not, you always try to learn so you can... You know, this is an art form. This is pro wrestling, and so that you can better your art form and learn from it and do better next time. So you try to learn from everybody you're in the ring with.
Now, in 2007, you went on to win the Ted Petty.
I didn't win the tournament. I think I lost. I actually lost to Sammy Callahan.
Did you win
No, I won the title there.
You won the title? Ah, I thought you won the Ted Petty in 07.
No, that year was, I think Drake Younger won it that year.
Huh.
I don't know. I could be wrong. I know I didn't win the tournament.
Win the
I know
tournament.
That.
Okay.
I want to remember
the heavyweight
that.
Title, though.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
That was the four-way you won the heavyweight title?
Yeah, with Hero, Chuck Taylor, and Quack.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, how did it go down like that to win the heavyweight title after, you know, going from not really being a singles guy to, you know, full circle being the top singles guy in a company like, you know, IWA?
It was just weird. You don't think that, you know what I mean? Like, and you bust your ass at that place and you're there for years and you appreciate just having a spot and you just appreciate getting paid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's a real feeling, you know what I mean? And now, even though I won the title, then I have my little, as I like to tell people, my little odyssey where, you know, I went to a dark place in my life and started missing shows and drinking way too much. And, you know, I mean, I missed 2 months worth of shows, you know what I mean? But Ian Ryan was one of
the title.
Yeah, that's when they stripped the title. But Ian Ryan was one of the first guys to forgive me for it and understand right. that everyone goes through their personal stuff, you know? So.
Yeah. And then there was the 08, you came back to the Ted Petty, and that's when you lost second round to Sammy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
What was your thoughts on Sammy Callahan? I mean, he's become a pretty big indie worker since and everything like that. Now, I mean, that was pretty early going.
You know, Sammy. It's really nothing. Sammy is Sammy, and... You know, I'm very happy for him that he's getting all the success that he's getting because he deserves it. You know what I mean? That dude, you know what I mean? That dude, whether you like the dude or not, he's busted his ass to get the shape that he's in. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
to also...
Fight the heck.
Yeah, go to where he is at now. You know what I mean? He's busted his ass. And he got to be doing something right,
yeah.
You know, for all these promoters and for his name to get out because he is probably, if not the top indie guy right now, I guess you could say, because he's all over the place.
Yeah, for sure. ROH. It was a short run, but... They put you in there for the Cage of Death in ROH in 06.
Yeah.
And from what... I mean, Zandig was saying in his shoot, there was a lot of negotiations of trying to bring him in. He was, well, even though he was working with the company, he was pretty much telling them they're going to have to give him, like, everything they got. And fucking, like, he wanted the world to even go on the show. So but they obviously had to go with other things, you know, and build a whole team that surrounded, you know, CZW. And you were definitely part of that team. What was your thoughts going into Ring of Honor representing CZW in, you know, a CZW brand type match in the Cage of Death thing?
Well, I just thought it was funny. You know what I mean? Because, you know, the Ring of Honor fans, even to this day, a lot of Ring of Honor fans don't like me, and that don't bother me. I think it's funny. You know what I mean? And it's also motivation. But,
right.
You know what I mean? I was just worried I wasn't going to get a reaction. You know what I mean? I was worried that I was supposed to be the surprise. I just remember sitting in the back there, and they're ready to announce me coming out. And I'm going, man, they're gonna fucking hate it because they want Zandig, or they want Nick Gage, or they want White Beater. They don't want fucking Eddie Kingston. You know what I mean?
Right.
But when I got out and the Ring of Honor fans started booing me and the CZW fans started cheering me, I was just like, all right, now it's time to go. You know what I mean? You just, all your nerves go out the window and you just go. And I had a blast doing that match, and it was a lot of fun.
So you went from that, I mean, you worked a few more matches. They did like a little, they tried to do a crossover with the Bolter Squad.
And Blackout, yeah.
And that was kind of short-lived. And then I guess they more or less caught wind of, you know, all the heat and, you know, the stuff that you guys were doing, you know, Hero and all that. And they had you go over in Final Battle 2009 over Hero.
Yeah, when that cocksucker dropped me on my head. Yeah. I had to wait to the DVD so I can remember the match.
But
all I know is he took a plane ride to California the next day with a swollen jaw, so I'll take that for what that is.
Another battle.
Yeah.
Well, was that was the last time you worked Ring of Honor, right?
Yeah, I did one more match for them in Manhattan with me and Necro Butcher against Joey Ryan and Eric Stevens, and that was my last match there. So then,
what happened?
Then, you know,
with Ring of Honor all together, that you know.
Just, you know, I guess I'm not that type of wrestler. They didn't, you know, either that or they just didn't have nothing for me. What they told me was they didn't have anything for me, and I don't blame them. They're right. They have so much talent there. You know what I mean? And I'm a humble enough guy to realize that I'm not, you know, one of those guys. You know what I mean? I'm working to be a Davey Richards or a Roderick Strong. You know what I mean? Do I think I can surpass guys like that? Yeah, if I work hard enough, you know what I mean? I proved it already in my career. You know what I mean?
Well, you sell better than Davey, so.
No, stop. I like Davey. Stop. But, well, you know, that's your opinion. Stop. you know what I mean? I've proven it. If you look at my track record, every company I've really gone to that tell me I've become champion there or I've become top guy there, you know, Chikara, CCW, IWA, Mid-South. You know what I mean? There's a reason for that. And I just got to work harder. You know what I mean? If I want to go to Ring of Honor and be one of be guys like Davey or Roddy and be top guys like that, you know what I mean? All, you know, my goal is to be Homicide and Loki. You know what I mean? Because those guys, to me, are top guys, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, I just got to work harder. And, you know, I don't think they bullshitted me because at the time, you know, the guy who was booking at the time, I respected very much. And like he told me, man, he tried his best to keep me there and find things for me, you know? So, but things happen for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer in that, you know what I mean? I'm not going to cry that I'm not there. Do I want to be there? Of course. Who doesn't? You know what I mean?
Right.
In all honesty, who doesn't want to? If you say you don't want to be at a certain company and make money, then you're retarded, because at the end of the day, this is a business, you know? So,
of course.
Like, my goal for 2012 is to be there with Homicide, teaming up with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Taking over there, you know? But we'll see what happens as time goes on, you know?
Yeah. You also had, you know, a little bit of time in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Yeah, a lot of fun out there. A great bunch of guys out there.
What was, you know, your whole experience out there in Cali?
It was just so much fun, you know what I mean? The locker room was fun. The locker room almost reminded me of Chikara because it was just very relaxed and a lot of fun, and everybody just wanted to put on a great show, and there was no worrying about how bad the booking is or how stupid this is or that is, you know what I mean? We were all there just to have fun, you know? And
right.
The guys who run it are just really down-to-earth great guys, and you know, I'm dying to go back there. I talked to them about going back. You know, things are just not right for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, in this business, everything's about timing, you know? And at this point in time, I guess the timing's not right for me to go back to PWG. But that's definitely, you know, a goal of mine for this year as well, just to go back there and have a good time. You know what I mean? Because and the fans there, the Cali fans are amazing. They really, really are. They're really just, they're great fans, and they know how to have fun as well.
Yeah, they put on supercards over there, and I mean, we had B-Boy on a while back, and he told us at the time, and crazy, because he's living in Cali, and he was one of their, you know, their early guys and everything like that, and he was like, they ain't got space for me right now. They run supercards, and eventually I'll get in, and now he's back in there, and it's good to see, but yeah, they got a lot going on, so definitely hope to see you back over there.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm happy B-Boy's back wrestling. Even though he always says he's going to retire.
Yeah,
you don't retire from wrestling, you quit. There's a difference.
Well, speaking of B-Boy, Jersey All-Pro did some things over there. One of the things that definitely stood out was tag team with B-Boy, and he went as Unforgiven.
Yep, that was supposed to be us, and you know, again, the powers that be, you know, I don't know, just dropped the ball or didn't book, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. You know what I mean? I had, you know, that was supposed to be, you know, in their words, our next big thing or whatever the fuck it was that they were saying. But, again, things happen. You know what I mean? I don't know what happened. I guess you got to ask B-Boy why they didn't bring him back in, or they didn't team us or something. I don't know. All I know is we were teaming up, and then the next thing you know, me and him are wrestling each other at the arena for Jersey All Pro. So I was just like,
right.
I said, whatever, pay me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of crazy shit going on there, but
But you know what? I Jersey All Pro, I had so much fun there. You know, I was there with B-Boy. I was there with Homicide. I was there with Low Key, you know. I was also in the locker room with a bunch of good dudes like Arcadia and Asriel, you know. A lot of good talent like Bandito Jr. You know what I mean? I had a nice little feud with him. I had a little fun with him. I beat his ass up a little bit. And, you know, it was, you know, I have nothing bad to say about them. They try their best and they do what they can.
Now, I had a fan ask me to ask you, how'd you come up with the name Unforgiven for you and B-Boy? Or who came up with it? Or how that all come about? And
we were just throwing names back and forth, you know, of what we could be called. And, you know, I'm a big Clint Eastwood fan. I love those movies.
Okay.
And I was watching the movie Unforgiven, and I just said it. You know what I mean? Like, we were trying to come up with names, and we couldn't agree on shit. You know what I mean? And,
what were some of the other ones you threw out? You remember any of them?
Nah, to be honest with you, no, I don't. I don't remember them. But there was a lot of things with thug in it or gangster in it, and I was just like, you know. And I was even doing that, too, you know what I mean? I remember Killer Army was what I was taking. I was going to rip off.
Killer Army.
A group, Killer Army, you know what I mean? I was like, I don't know. What the fuck can we be called? And I was just watching that movie, Unforgiven, you know, had it on pause, and I said, fuck it, Unforgiven. And, you know, B-Boy was like, yeah. I was like, all right, let's do it then. And I started just throwing it in promos and stuff and trying to mix it in together before me and B-Boy joined together, you know?
Yeah, and then he also asked, you know, the song Unforgiven, Metallica, was that the only reason you used the song, because it was the name of the song, or was there other meaning behind it, or whatever?
It was actually B-Boy's idea. He liked it, so to me it was just because it was the name of the song. You know what I mean? But
cool.
If there was a deeper meaning, that was definitely B-Boy. Sorry.
Yeah. You're going to be tagging with Homicide and Jersey All-Pro coming up, right?
Yep, April 14th. I don't know who the opponents are yet, but check out JEP.net to find out, because that's how I'm probably going to find out. But yeah, me and Homicide, the outlaw clique of the Strong Style Thugs, are going to be there April 14th, man.
Some more questions he's got. What did you think about Slick Wagner Brown being in Jersey All Pro's Blackout?
I enjoyed it. I liked it. I enjoy Slick's work. I like Slick as a person. You know what I mean? At the time, there was a scheduling conflict with Joker, Sabian, and Ruckus. You know, they couldn't do Jersey All Pro to CZW, you know what I mean? We're running the same day. And they were like, we still want to do something with Blackout. And they came up to me and they asked me about Slick. And I talked to Sabian, Joker, and Ruckus about it. And they were all about it. And I had a lot of fun with them. You know what I mean? That didn't last too long. It was almost like the same thing with the Unforgiven deal. We did it for maybe 3 shows. And then sooner or later, it just died down.
You know, and you mentioned Scorpio before, but this is kind of two-part, both of, you know, kind of being an ECW fan and all that. You got to wrestle in the Manhattan Center. How was that? And your thoughts on wrestling Tommy Dreamer and Too Cold Scorpio?
Well, wrestling in the Manhattan Center was amazing. Like I said in the promo, I remember I used to go to the shows when they used to do Raw there. And, I remember, you know, Manhattan Center's right adjacent to Madison Square Garden. And, you know, being a kid from New York, you know, you Madison Square Garden was the place, you know, as a kid.
Yeah.
And I remember just taking the D train with my dad all the time to go to Madison Square Garden and watch the show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just being amazed and being like, that's what I want to do. And, you know, just being a kid and being in awe of everybody. And then I remember my first match at the Manhattan Center. On purpose, I took the D train just to be like, you know, I'm getting off on this train with my wrestling. Yeah, I'm getting off the train with my wrestling bag. I'm not just going to a show to watch it. I'm going because I'm on it. You know what I mean? I guess you could say to go full circle.
Yeah.
So that was a big thrill. I say that and wrestling in the ECW arena for the first time were two of the biggest thrills of my career. Wrestling Scorpio was just, I learned so much and it was amazing. And I remember watching Scorpio when he was in WCW. He was the first guy I ever seen do 450s and things off the top rope I've never seen before in my life, you know?
Yeah.
And then of course, him with ECW, me being a huge ECW fan, and seeing matches, I always go back to that match he had with Shane Douglas, where he got powerbombed on the floor. I was like, what the fuck? This is nuts. And he had a great match with Shane there, and I remember him and Shane for the NWA title, and you know, his matches with Sabu and him teaming up with Sandman and all this stuff. Just loving
right.
the guy. It was an unbelievable honor to wrestle Tommy Dreamer and then also team up with Dreamer at the arena. Tommy Dreamer, you know, I try to tell him, but he probably won't really fully understand it or grasp it. I hated wrestling in 96, hated it. It was very
yeah.
childish. I hated it. I was done with it. And my friend showed me ECW's Gangsta Paradise, and it was because of ECW I got back into wrestling. And
right.
then seeing someone like Tommy Dreamer, who came from Yonkers, you know, from where I'm from, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just in the same way, like Homicide coming from New York, you know? Kind of like you watch it, you're like, holy shit, all right, this guy can do it. You know, and he's from my neighborhood, or he's from New York. You know, why can't I? And then the passion got refueled, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't think Dreamer will ever fully understand how much of an inspiration, besides ECW, that he was for someone like me and many others as well.
Now, I mean, about ECW, I mean, I was a huge fan of ECW, and it came pretty similar to what you were saying. I was really done with wrestling for a while. I was actually doing a lot of dumb shit in the street and all of that, but
yep.
just acting stupid. I was, you know, 18, 19 years old and was just acting like an idiot, but, you know, a couple of guys was like, yo, you know, check this shit out. These guys are crazy and shit. So I would see some of that stuff, and it blew my mind. And you'd be up at 1 and 2 in the morning watching MSG.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning over here. Yeah,
it was crazy.
And then you try to find it, then you try to find it the next weekend, and it was on a different channel.
Yeah, I was living up in North Jersey at the time, and it was crazy. So it definitely got me back into wrestling because it was some realer shit than I remembered, and I wasn't just dealing with gimmicks and this and that, and it brought me back in. Then
yeah,
I could
definitely did.
Ease my way back to the gimmicks and all that, but now this is. You know, this many years later, and it's now come a little bit the other direction where it's starting to get on my nerves, the ECW stuff, because they don't stop rehashing it. They don't stop coming back with the reunions and this, and they're doing another one this year. And where do you think that's got to end? I mean, is there a point where that's got to go away and we just remember for what it was, or because I don't know.
I think true fans of the original, and I hate saying like that, the original ECW, will understand what the true memories are of it, you know what I mean? And what it meant to them. And, you know, I don't have a problem with anybody rehashing it because the guys get, the former ECW guys get money out of it, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
a lot of those guys. You know, a lot of those guys, which is crazy to me, a lot of those guys I've met and became very cool with, so I'm happy that they're getting a payday, you know?
Yeah,
but,
no, I hear them going for the payday, I do.
Yeah, but I can understand fans' point of view, you know, you get sick of it, you don't want to see it bastardized or killed anymore, as it was almost done, but I think true fans will understand what the real one was to them, you know, in their hearts, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I just feel like they innovated something that has actually been brought to a further extent. I mean, there's harder hitting shit than they were doing. There's faster moving, quicker lucha guys than when they were doing it, you know.
Yeah, well, the business always evolves, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
They were the ones who brought lucha over to America, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
With Eddie Guerrero Rey Mysterio and Juventud and Psychosis. I remember those matches being like, what is going on? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then also bring in the hardcore stuff, of course, and also bring in the technical wrestling with, like, Malenko and Guerrero, you know, Lynn right. and Van Damme and stuff like that. And, you know, and the, like, ECW was evolved wrestling, and now other companies, you know, are evolving pro wrestling. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everything moves on. Please. Who knows, 5 years from now, there may be a different big thing, you know what I mean? Hopefully I'm not, either I'm involved or I'm out of the business by that time and satisfied. But it's going to keep evolving no matter what.
Wow. Yeah, it just, to a certain extent, it just gets to be too much for me. And, you know, I mean, I like to see those guys as legends. And, of course, they don't, you know, they're not living off of a, you know, paycheck that happened in 95, so.
Yeah.
I really don't blame the guys at all. It's just, I don't know.
I understand as a fan. You don't want to see something that you love being done over and over again that you did, you know, in the wrong way. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But I just look at it at a different point of view. You know what I mean? But if I was looking at it just from the fan's point of view, I would totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Last question this guy has is your thoughts on working Grizzly Redwood and Brody Lee as the Rednecks in Chikara.
Oh wow, man, I'm still kind of mad that that never got a chance. Yep, the Roughnecks. I never got a chance to take off. You know what I mean? I thought me and Brody were a good team, and Grizzly was still learning at the time, and Grizzly has become a very good wrestler. You know what I mean? In the time that he's been in, you know, I wish I could have done more. You know what I mean? But again, that was just a situation of, you know, there was an idea for it. We tried it. You know, the booker, the promoter liked it, but didn't like it for that long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then just split off. There's nothing you can really do about that. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of people forget, you know, that the wrestlers have bosses too. You know what I mean? Like just like any other regular job, you're not going to tell your boss, no, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Or, you know, no, that's stupid. I don't want to make that burger. So I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure there's a fine line between creative control and, you know, being a politician backstage.
Oh, there's a huge fine line. Huge fine line. And Casino crossed that line many a times.
Well, I'm sure many do. Many guys do. So it's just, you know,
it's part of the deal.
Finding your place, right?
Yep, it's part of the deal, and it happens with everybody. You know what I mean? I've probably done it. You know what I mean? Myself, I probably played politics myself, and I didn't even know it. To be honest with you, I don't want to. I don't want to be one of those guys. But you never know. I probably did do it. I just don't remember. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it happened.
On some recent stuff. You had worked for a company, I think it's a joke, and you don't have to call it that, but Urban Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, it was really, you just made me laugh, sorry.
I get you, like, yo, leave me alone, dog, I'm making money.
Yeah. Me and Jim, Jeezy was telling me about that when you were busting his balls about it.
Like, all right, go ahead.
You know, I mean, I had fun there. And what I think they're doing is different. You know what I mean? Maybe it's too different. Maybe it's not. You know, you just got to see what happens with it.
I heard someone got shot on the last pay-per-view.
You know what? I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the last pay-per-view.
That's good for wrestling,
right? I just, you know, if I'm not on it, I ain't going to watch it. That's my ego part there. But, no, I had a lot of fun there, and it was great to be there with Melly Mel. Got to chill with a couple people that I know. You know what I mean? I had my match with Homicide, you know. And then, like Jeezy said, man, leave me alone. I'm making money, you know. And that's why, like, I hope it succeeds, because I want to see my guys, my friends, like Jeezy and Joker, make money, you know.
Of course. I talk plenty of shit because I don't make no motherfucking money. So I don't blame any of y'all for not talking shit. Yeah, that's perfectly fine. As soon as they start sending me checks, I'll be nice as hell.
I know, yeah. Once you get a check from them, you'd be like, they're the greatest thing in the world. I know you
put them over, yeah. Yo, the way he held that gun and shit in that segment was that was the shit.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, coming up, we were talking PWS. You're wrestling Kevin Matthews.
Yeah.
On March 9th. What do you think going into that match?
I hope he doesn't get hurt this time. Last time I wrestled him, he got hurt getting out of the ring.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I hope he's not that scared like he was last time, you know? But, no, it should be fun. I always have fun at PWS. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Again, it's a locker room of guys that I like. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm looking forward to my match with Kevin Matthews very much.
Previous match you had that I've seen there, Sid.
Yeah.
So,
I had a blast with him. I loved it. I know a lot of other people didn't, but I loved it. I was in there with Sid. What do you want from me? You know what I mean? He was one of the guys that when I got a little older, and was, you know, I was like 13 years old, 13, 14 years old. That's when I would go to the garden to see him. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So, you know, I can't hate on that.
It's just crazy watching.
Yeah, I had fun with him. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people didn't like it. But
as an indie fan, you got Eddie Kingston on main events, and then he gets turned into a, you know.
Yeah, but that's
Sid, dog. Turned into Bugger on a, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'll do that all day for Sid. You don't want to fuck with Sid, man. I'm telling you that much. The psycho thing is not a, it's not a gimmick.
He's a big dude.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, other than this stuff, do you watch, like, the current product or any of that stuff?
I rarely do. I DVR it, you know what I mean, and fast forward by it, you know, both things. I still watch the Japanese stuff religiously, you know what I mean, because that's the style that I fell in love with. I watch a lot of New Japan and Old Japan still, and then NOAH, and, of course, Osaka Pro. So I still keep tabs on all that. You know what I mean? Thank God for YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It keeps me updated.
What's your thoughts on some of the TV product right now? Anything you like, don't like?
I love that Bryan Danielson is a top guy there. I love that. I love what he's doing with it. I find it to be very entertaining.
Yeah.
CM Punk is probably the most entertaining thing on TV right now. Bottom line with that. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Can't hate on that, man. He is one of the top guys right now for them, and it's amazing. I remember meeting Punk when he came for a dojo at Chikara, and now look at him, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It's nuts, and it's cool to see him as a top guy, you know, and you can't hate on that. Other things I really don't pay, not trying to be an asshole, I really don't pay that much attention to it, you know what I mean?
Because you don't love DNA or none of that?
TNA doesn't hold my attention a lot of times. You know what I mean? Right. I'm not trying to knock them or bury them. I try to watch it and it doesn't grab me. It doesn't make me sit there and go, okay, I'm going to watch it, you know? A lot of times I just sit there to watch my friends on it, you know what I mean, to see how they're doing, to see what they're doing on it. And then after that, I'm kind of like, all right, let's fast forward, you know?
Yeah, hopefully they put Sod back there pretty soon and get rid of that fake Chavo that they got.
I just, you know, it is what it is, man. You know what I mean? Those dudes are making money. Good for them, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, I really don't, you know what I mean? I'd rather stick to watching my old ECW and NWA and WWF stuff, you know what I mean?
What are some of your favorite Japanese guys to watch these days?
Of course, Tanahashi, Nakamura, Naito, or Naito. Of course, Tenzan and Kojima, Taiokea, Jun Akiyama, of course, watching them, you know what I mean? A lot of those guys, you know, I watched for years, and, you know, they're really awesome to watch. Tadasuke from Osaka Pro is another one I love to watch. I got to team up with him when I went over there, so it was awesome. Everyone in Osaka Pro is amazing. Those are really the only guys I really, you know, watch. And again, I go back to a lot of old school stuff because I just like it, you know. Of course, Kenta Kobashi, you know, and Masahiro Chono and Keiji Muto, of course. So
yeah, I think Tanahashi's the Japanese Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, someone told me they thought he was the Japanese John Cena. And
did you punch him in the face?
No, I just looked at them and I said, "Look, he's making money, right? He's making money. That's the way I look at things, man. He's making money and he's a top guy in the top promotion in Japan, you know. So
yeah,
I cannot hate on that at all.
What did you like better, Misawa Kobashi or Misawa and the fuck Kawada?
Wow, dudes. That's ridiculously hard to pick. I gotta go with Misawa Kawada, even though I'm a huge Kobashi fan. You know
me
what
too.
I mean? Kobashi's a huge influence, but you know, Kawada never beating Misawa and then finally beating him in the Tokyo Dome, and I'll never forget seeing that little kid in the audience. If you watch very closely after he wins, he was so happy that Kawada won that he ripped off his shirt in joy. So like, that's just something that you just don't forget. But he was that happy, you know, that they grabbed him that much that he did that. So that's some great stuff.
Yeah, both series of matches were fucking unbelievable. But I personally just like the offense that Kawada was putting out matched up with Masawa's offense better for me, where I thought it just was like a great mix of styles, and it came together so fucking crazy.
But one of my favorite matches of all. But one of my matches, favorite matches of all time is Kobashi against Kawada when they went 60 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember watching that and just being like, I love All Japan. You know what I mean? I'm going to watch All Japan from now on, you know?
Yeah, that's the crazy shit, for real. I mean, the head drops and the fucking stiff shit in those matches are just unmatched.
Just, you know, it was a different way of storytelling, and it was just fun to watch.
Yeah. On the indies, you say, you know, you keep your eye on a lot of stuff and different things that are going on. You know, what are some of the things that you see that, you know, you're looking to get a part of? I mean, you definitely said, you know, Gorilla and some other things. You know, what are your goals for this year?
Well, first and foremost, man, you know, first goal is to try to stay as healthy as I can and also make sure my family, you know, is healthy and well off as well. But my goals are to go back to Osaka Pro and wrestle for them. You know, I mean, go back to Japan because that's always been a goal.
Right.
And hopefully live there maybe. other goal is to make Chikara, you know, to make that title that I have now as Grand Champion mean something. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's number one in wrestling. That's the number one goal for me, is to make that Chikara title mean something. Then, of course, go to Japan and stuff like that. I mean, me personally, I just want to grow as a wrestler. You know what I mean? I want to improve. You know, and of course, financially, I want to improve. Of course, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh.
But you know, I felt that 2011 ended off on a great note for me. You know what I mean? Started off rough. Ended on a great note, and now let's take that momentum and bring it to 2012, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and then on some outside of wrestling shit, you're a Giant fan, so I gotta give you congrats.
Yeah.
I gotta give you congrats on that.
I know,
we're
you know,
Giant
I
fan, so I ain't so
I know
good.
You are. I know you are. I didn't hit you up after they beat you. I didn't hit you up. I wasn't gonna bust your balls.
Yeah, man.
I've been back and forth
with Homicide for fucking.
Yeah. Since
we beat them in the season.
Yeah, another heart-wrenching, another season as a Giant fan. Man, I tell you, when I die, I want them to put on my gravestone. I died because the Giants gave me a heart attack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, man, it was awesome. It was awesome. And what I think is the icing on the cake is beating the Patriots. You know what I mean? If it was any other team, it would, you know, winning the Super Bowl is great. But beating, you know, a New England team, you know, me also being a Yankee fan, you know what I mean? Being from New York, being a team from Massachusetts is also, you know, icing on the cake. Sorry to all my Boston, New England fans and stuff like that. I apologize, but I know you guys hate the Giants and the Yankees too, so, you know what I mean?
But hey, you know, when you guys beat us, you got to the Super Bowl, there was nothing left to do but to beat the fucking Patriots, because I guarantee you we would have smashed the Patriots with our beast defense. There's no maybe about it, but getting past us, you motherfuckers better beat the fucking Patriots. And that's all good, man. It's, you know, much congrats. Did you go to the parade over there?
Oh, no, not today, man. After drinking so much on Sunday, I didn't get to go to the gym on Monday, so I had to I had to go to the gym twice today just to try to catch up.
Bam. 2 days and shit.
Yeah, just because I missed Monday. And also still trying to sweat out all that liquor. I drank too much.
That's not like you.
Yeah, right? Not at all.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I don't think I got a whole lot more, but before I let you off, I definitely got to get a Eddie Kingston promo for Yakuza Kick Radio.
Of course. Oh, you want me to do it now?
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
All right, man, I'll do it right now. Yo, what up? This is Eddie Kingston, last of a dying breed. I have a lot of other nicknames as well. But the bottom line is, you listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, where my man keeps it thorough. You heard me? Keep it locked in.
Yeah, man. Good luck, man. Yo, all thanks,
right, buddy,
for coming
thank
on.
You. Thank you for having me on, man. Thank you, man.
It's not a problem, man. You're welcome back anytime. It's been a long fucking time. I've been trying to get
you
here.
It's been a while.
I'm tired of trying to bring you to this show, man. You need to stay fucking current.
I will try my best.
Yeah, man. Anything you want to plug before you go off?
Check out japw.net. Check out chikarapro.com. And I'm on Twitter now. At Chikara Kingston, that's one word. And, you know, I'm on Facebook, so check it out. And, I don't know. That's it. Also, just thanks for being fans of pro wrestling, because without the fans, whether I like them or not, or they like me or not, without you guys, we don't get to do what we like to do or love to do. So, that's all it is, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, Eddie. Welcome back anytime. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Do your thing, man.
Thanks a lot, my man.
All right, my man. Good night.
All right, one.
Peace.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.